Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Minister of Charles Town Apostolic Church here in Congregation Mount Zappa, Charles Town, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 14, 2017, here it is 8:23, 2021, and we're starting our singing service today with a song entitled, Take the Name of Yahshua with You. Take the name of Yahshua with you, out of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort get you, take it and where you go. Precious name, oh, I see. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh, I see. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, take the name of Yahshua ever, as a shield from every sham, and temptations round you gather, breathe the holy name of prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. The precious name of Yahshua, how it fills our soul with joy, when His loving arms receive us, and His songs and tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, who has seen, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Yahshua bowing, falling crushed at His feet, King of kings in heaven will crown Him, when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh, I speak, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, I speak, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Comfort ye, my people. This is next. This is the title here on this sermon. We're going to start with found in Timely Greetings, Volume 1, number 36. And the prayer thought that V.T. Hallett had is taken from the Mount of Blessing by the Ellen G. White, beginning on page 198. It says, for the narrow upward road leading to home and rest furnished Yahshua with an impressive figure of the Christian way. The path which I have set before you, he said, is narrow. The gate is difficult of the entrance, for the golden rule excludes all pride and self-seeking. There is indeed a wider road, but its end is destruction. If you would climb the path of the spiritual life, you must constantly ascend, for it is an upward way. You must go with the few, for the multitude will choose the downward path. Is the road unto the death, as the whole race may go, with all of their worldliness, all of their selfishness, all of their pride, all of their dishonesty and moral debasement, there is still room for every man's opinions and doctrines, space to follow his inclinations is do whatever his self-love may dictate in order for the going in the path that leads unto the destruction. But there is no need of the searching for the way, for the gate is wide and the way is broad, and the feet naturally turn into the path that ends in the death. We should pray for the power to enable us to turn aside from the broad path, from the fallen self, the path in which we find ourselves from the birth up. We should pray for the choosing of the narrow path with the few, for the knowing for a certainty that only the narrow upward way leads to home and to peace. Okay, that ends the prayer thought. Let's go right on into our text of address for the Vichy Hall of April. It was on the Sabbath, April the 12th, 1947, Mount Carmel Chapel, Waco, Texas. Last week we finished studying the 35th chapter of the book of the Isaiah. And now, since, as can be readily seen, chapter 36 to 39, in case he interrupts with the historical data, the theme of the Isaiah's prophecy, we shall continue where the inspiration picks up the thread of the thought in the chapter 40 with a tender plea unto Elohim's message-bearing people. Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2. Comfort ye, my people, saith your Yahweh. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Yahweh's hand double for all her sin. Verse 2 leaves no doubt that inspiration is speaking unto her people in the latter days. The days in which the warfare, pilgrimage, and captivity of Yahweh's weary people are accomplished. Having received double for their sin and rebellion, their iniquity is pardoned, and are now soon to be delivered. You cannot afford to overlook this comforting message. You must not neglect to make ready, for that is the reason that it is now unsealed and freely delivered unto you. Prepare to meet the Elohim as its keynote. Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Yahshua, make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. No, for our Yahshua, our King. Okay, it says true. Verse 3 found fulfillment in the work of the John the Baptist, but the verses preceding and also the verses following definitely apply unto the people in the latter days. That's who we are. We're this people. And only partially unto the people in John's day. Therefore, the truth stands out boldly that the direct fulfillment of this chapter is found in our time, thus making John's work an example of our work, John's work to type ours to antitype. For the wilderness and the desert, Isaiah 40, verse 3. In contrast unto the vineyard, the house of Judah, literally and antitypically says, the voice of him that crieth in the land of the Gentiles, that says, prepare ye the way of the Yeshua, make straight in the Gentile world a highway for our Elohim. Isaiah 40 verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and high hill made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. For the making of this highway straight, the voice is, as it were, for the raising up the valleys. Let's do that again. For the raising up of the valleys. For the cutting through of the mountains and of the hills, and for the grinding down of the rough places. That is, every obstruction must and will be removed, for the saints must be gathered regardless of where they live. Now, we're talking about these Gentile saints. Isaiah 40 verse 5, and the glory of the Yahshua shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of Yahshua has spoken it. Then shall come to pass as soon as the highway is made ready. Isaiah 40 verse 6 to 8. For the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. For the grass withers, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Yahweh bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Elohim shall stand forever. The voice proclaims that all the grass and that all the goodliness is man and men is as the flowers of the field, but the word of Yahweh stands forever. It must be then that men are blind unto these realities, else they would not need to be reminded of them. It must be that they are depending upon flesh instead of upon the word of Yahweh and His Spirit. Isaiah 40 verse 9-11. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Yerushalayim, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice. With the strength lifted up, be ye not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your Elohim, behold the Yahweh Elohim will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall praise, or he shall gather the lambs with his arm, and gather them in his bosom, and shall gently lead these that are with young. For the message which this chapter contains, we see, is not a message to be preached unto the world, but unto the cities of the antitypical Judah. The church and those who proclaim it are citizens of the antitypical Zion and Jerusalem, members of the congregation. So they are fearlessly to lift up their voices with the strength, for they are to further explain that the people whom Elohim uses for the getting his work done are his arm, that they are to rule for him, that his reward is with them, and his work yet before him, that he shall feed his flock, and with his arm, with that is parentheses, with his church, he shall give the lambs, the newly converted. Now this is talking about these Gentiles folks, and carry them into his kingdom. Isaiah 40, verse 12 to 20. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the depths of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Yahweh, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed unto him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted unto him less than nothing, and vanity. Unto whom then will ye liken Yahweh, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? For the workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and attached a silver chain. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that cannot be moved. Those who are ignorant of Yahweh like him to something, or liken him unto something. Really, the great question is, unto what are we likening him? Unto something, though there is no comparison of him? Isaiah 40:21-26. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told unto you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, and that stretches out the heaven, as a curtain, and spreadeth them as out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stalk shall not, it shall take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Unto whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Said the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. That bringeth out their host by the number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, none, not one faileth. Oh, how great a Yahweh our Yahweh is, and how slow we are to grasp his promises. How slow we are to let him take full charge of us, just as he had charge of the stars. Isaiah 40:27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Yahweh, and my judgment is passed over from my Elohim? Obviously, Yahweh's people are mistaken concerning his knowledge of their ways. Isaiah 40:28-31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting Father, the Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power unto the faint, and unto them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. These verses explain that Yahweh's people need to know all these things before they earn the right to walk into his holy kingdom. And what a wonderful privilege is ours if we but wait on the Yahweh, if we but remain true and faithful unto his word. Then he shall renew our strength like the eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. As the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh is fast approaching, and as we are already told what to do to make ready, we need not be found wanting. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall take, shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Yahweh shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Psalms 85:9-12. What a comforting message this is. Any wonder why the angels urgently command
the Almighty
urgently commands, comfort ye, my people. End of Town of Greeting, Volume 1, number 36. Let's continue right on now with number 37. Title, the end of our long and trying journey. And it's a fix of address, April the 19th, 1947. It's on a Sabbath day. Okay, the subject is found in Isaiah 51, verse 1 and 2. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Yeshua. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. Isaiah 51:1-2. In this chapter, Yahweh is speaking unto the descendants of the Abraham, unto a generation that is with the following after the righteousness, for we now need, for the finding in the stream of the time, the exact generation that the inspiration here addresses. Is it the people of Moses' time, of the Isaiah's time, of the apostles' time, of our time, or some other time? If the chapter is addressed unto us, then our need of studying it and our interest in it will be infinitely greater than it would be otherwise. Well, the information we are seeking is found in verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Yahweh, the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of the trembling and run them out. Isaiah 51:17. For this verse reveals that the Yahweh is with the speaking unto a people who have gone through all of the trials and hardships, captivity and persecution allotted them for them for the going through for their sin and disobedience, for their having drunk of the dregs of the cup of the trembling and even run them out. At the long last, there are no more dregs left in the cup. This could not be said unto the people in the Moses' time, nor in the Isaiah's time, nor even in the apostles' time. It could not be said unto any people at any time, but unto those who have come unto the time of their liberation from the want, fear, and insecurity that they have created through their sin and rebellion. Folks, this applies to Gilead Center, 2002, Kermit, Texas. For the divine calling, 11th hour laborers, Gilead Center, Willis W. Johnson, to awake, however, reveals that though the time of the deliverance has come, yet they are in a deep and spiritual sleep, with the ignorance of these good tidings. Thus saith the Yahweh, the Yahweh and thy Elohim that pleadeth the cause of his people. Well, actually, this is Yahshua that pleads the cause of his people before the Father. So it says, thus saith the Yahshua,
the Savior and thy King that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of the tremblant, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Isaiah 51:22. So he's taken out of the hand. He says, I've taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling. He's just talking about the house of David. He says, I've taken it out of your hand. I've taken it out of the hand of the 144,000. Those that come through the judgment, that gets the three seals of Yahweh, there in Revelation 3:12, put it placed upon them, that gets rid of their filthy garments, Zechariah 3, he said, I've taken the cup of trembling out of their hands. And then they'll no more drink of that cup of trembling. Adventists have been drinking of that cup of trembling ever since they rejected the first message in 1888 of Jonathan Wagner. Yahweh, you see, positively addresses the people who have already taken all of the punishment they are to take, and at long last he is pleading their cause. This cannot be said at any time unto any people hitherto for. How do we know that the time is here and that the Yeshua is now speaking unto us? We know it from the fact that these long concealed prophecies on the subject are now for the first time unfolding and being brought unto the attention. We are now ready for the studying of the chapter verse by verse. Isaiah 51, start with that, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 51:1-2. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Yeshua. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit which you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Yahweh advises his people of the day to hearken unto him. They are those who are endeavoring for the obtaining of the righteousness, those who are seeking the Yeshua, and who are anxious to have a revival and reformation among them. They are now urged to look unto the rock which they are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit whence they are digged. We are not to conclude that the Jews are the only descendants of the Abraham. Those who are fortunate enough to have this revelation brought unto them are the people. There is no other safe conclusion if Yahweh causes the prophecy to be written, sealed, and then unsealed at his will and at the same time appointed. For the Jews, therefore, are not the only descendants of the Abraham. For the finding who these seekers of the righteousness really are, there are several genealogical facts to consider. Number one, only the citizens of the kingdom of the Judah, the two tribe kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, receive the title Jews. Number two, those of the ten tribe kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, were scattered among the nations, and there they completely lost their identity. Number three, it says Christian church here, but I'm going to call it the apostolic congregation of the of the Nazarene creed of the apostles, herself is an upshoot of the Jewish church and nation. Now, when it says Jewish, we're talking about the tribe of Judah. They're the only ones that got the title Jew applied to them. And that, it was that again a multitude of the Jews lost their identity by calling themselves Christians. So this is what you get when you're a Jewish person and you want to be called a Christian. You lose your identity. Adventists have lost their identity because they want to be called Christians. They don't want to be called spiritual Israel. That's just what I told them. They distance themselves from that name Israel. So that's why they lose their spiritual identity. But to preserve their spiritual identity, the 144,000 are the end results of the Adventist movement. Comparatively speaking, only a few Jews from the kingdom of the Judah have preserved their national title. Jews, the descendants of the earlier Christian Jews, and the descendants of the 10 tribes down the stream of the time must have increased to a great and innumerable multitude. For Abraham's seed was to be as the sand of the sea for multitude. It is therefore obvious that the few identified Jews of the day are not the only descendants of the Abrahams, but that many of the Gentiles must be of the Abraham. Since this mixed up situation exists, hardly anyone can really say for sure that he is not one of the Abraham's children. Perhaps many of the nations whom the world calls Gentiles are the children of Abraham. We do not know for sure who is who. Yahweh, however, has kept a perfect genealogical record, for he says, "I will make mention of the Rahab and Babylon unto them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man is born there, and of Zion it shall be said this, and that man is born in her. And the highest himself shall exalt her, establish her. For the Yahweh shall count when he rideth up the people, that this man was born there, Selah." Psalms 87:4-6. Furthermore, though, one be of the Gentile blood, if he truly accepts Yahshua, he by his spiritual birth becomes of the seed of Abraham, for it says inspiration, "If you be the Yahshua, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according unto the promise." Galatians 3:29. "For the children of Abraham are here addressed, therefore are not to be sought among the identified unbelieving Jews, but among the Christians." And the Christians today then really are made up with the Adventists as part of their population. They are admonished for the looking unto Abraham and Sarah, and to consider that when Abraham, Yahweh first called Abraham, though he was alone, he nevertheless obeyed and Yahweh blessed him. That in spite of all the apparent impossibilities with both him and Sarah, he increased him. What if you personally and alone were called by his word as with Abraham, to stand alone for the truth and righteousness? Would you be a hero for Yahweh as with Abraham? Or would you do as did backsliding Judah, Iscariot, if we were not privileged to choose as was Abraham? Yahweh would not have reminded us of Abraham's experience. We are plainly told not to lose courage, but to have faith in the Father. For he intends to bless and increase us, as he blessed and increased our ancestors. Abraham and Sarah, the reason he gives for the blessing us as he blessed them is this. Isaiah 51:3. "For the Yahweh shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Yahweh. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of the melody." Isaiah 51:3. For the Yahweh shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. So folks, this is what we have right here in our midst, where we, Yahweh has placed us right in the midst of this antitypical wilderness that's going to become like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Yahweh. For the focal point of the scriptures is the rebuilding of Zion, and that is our charge. Isaiah 51:4-5. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. So who is the arm of Yahweh? What represents the arm of Yahweh is his purified kingdom of the 144,000, the house of Judah and Israel, the 12 tribes put back together. They make up his battle axe and his great army. We are asked to hearken unto the Yahweh because a law and a judgment are to proceed from him. These are to be a light unto the people, again says the Yahweh, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hill, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up unto the mountain, singular, one mountain of the Yahshua, and unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Yahweh from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Isaiah 2:2-4. Now what did we just read here? Let's do a little review on that. why do they have to go to this mountain to learn of Yahweh's ways? I thought that the scriptures is where you go to. That's what we have, the scriptures here. And this is where we have gone to learn of his ways. Could it be then that when it says in Luke 17:20 that the kingdom cometh not with the observation, but the kingdom of Yahweh is within you? So by faith you believe that wherever Yahweh has his servant being taught present truth from the throne of grace with inspiration, this is where the spiritual purified doctrine is being taught from this location. All right, so it says they have to go because they said they got to go up there because they got to. He'll teach them of his way, and we are to walk in his path. Well, the Bible outlines the path to this mountain, and after you get to that mountain, how to follow the path on into the heaven. But you have to go to that mountain. The whole world has to be called to that mountain. That's the reason why it says when the great harvest starts for the multitudes of the Gentiles, Isaiah 66 said, they're going to bring them in a clean vessel to Yahweh's holy mountain. They have to come there first. Okay, and they come there because they have been delivered out of their nations that they live in, and now they're going to come there and go to school. They're going to come there and be taught of his ways. and walk in his path. After they have been gathered from all nations, they have to be gathered to that holy mountain. Okay. It says that, for the law is to go forth from the mountain kingdom, parentheses kingdom, of the Yahweh's house is established on the top of the mountains. Okay. Okay, now, and when it is exalted above the hill, then the light shall cause the rebuked nations to flow to the mountain of the Yahshua. And instead of beating their plowshares in the swords and their pruning hooks in the spirit, Joel 3:10, they will beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah 2:4. To say my righteousness is near and my salvation is gone forth is to say that salvation has been here, but righteousness has come, is about to come. And how true. What is the Yahshua's arm that judges the people? This we shall see as we read Isaiah 51:9-10. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O arm of the Yahweh. Awake as in the ancient days and the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the seas, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? How illogical it would be for Yahweh to be trying to awake himself as though he or his own arm is asleep. This verse shows that he calls the Exodus movement his arm. So, if the Exodus movement is his arm, then every movement that is called out is his right arm. So, Exodus movement is his right arm. That's your first movement, Matthew 20. The early morning laborers that was called out to work in the vineyard, they were his right arm. And those that passed into the promised land at the end of the first 40 years in the wilderness, that had received a seal and were sanctified by the Passover, they were the true right arm of the Father. They passed over into the promised land. So that's what movements are for. It's first is to bring revival and reformation. That's what movements are for. And every movement is supposed to have revival and reformation. That's what Yahshua had in the second movement of Matthew 20, verse 2 and 3. And when he was called at the third hour, he called his disciples at the third hour. That was a movement. And the movement produced sanctification and purification of the house of Israel. With the first, with the Passover, purging out Judas Iscariot, purified the apostles, the 11 disciples, purified them by getting rid of Judas Iscariot. And on the day of Pentecost, they got rid of the rest of the riffraff when they had the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then there was some riffraff tried to infiltrate after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that was found in Acts chapter 5. And Ananias and Sapphira, unconverted, but they tried to slip back in, and you know what happened to them. Alright, so I said, rightly so, because Elohim does his work with his servants. His servants therefore are his arm, and they shall judge, rule the people, and the people shall trust on them. So, now these head of these new movements, each movement, they become a judge. They are the new ruler. So, we got a new identity. We are rulers. The head of this movement, of the fifth movement, the last one that we are headed up, we are the rulers of it. Isaiah 51:6, lift up your eyes unto the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in the like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. We are necessarily reminded that all else shall perish. But those who obtain Yahweh's salvation and His righteousness shall stand forever. So this, what is Yahweh's salvation? It's the blood of the everlasting covenant that you have to obtain through the blood of Yahshua, through the new and living way, Hebrews chapter 10. Isaiah 51 verse 7, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, for the people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of the reviling. Those who know His righteousness, the people under whom this truth is revealed, and who have His law in their heart, obviously will suffer from reproach and reviling of men, but they are admonished not to fear. And what shall be the end of your adversaries? Here is the answer. Isaiah 51:8. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like the wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Painfully we pity all the sin brothers who are so angry, but blindly against us. Isaiah 51:9-10. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Yahweh. Awake as in the ancient days, and the generations of the old. Art thou not it that hath kept Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? If his people were not asleep, then what need would there be for calling them to awaken? We are glad that Elohim himself is arousing us and plainly telling us that as our forefathers did great things, we too, as the Yahweh's arm, can and shall do even greater things than they. So, isn't this a wonderful, wonderful promise? That He will be with us and give us our message, and He will give us everything we need to arm us with, the arm of salvation. For those that are of His, of the house of Israel, and both of the Gentile world. Alright. Isaiah 51:11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Yahweh shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, for they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Thanks be unto Yahweh that He is not only to awaken His people and to cause them to sing while marching into Zion, but is also able to remove their sorrows and their mourning forever. He is well able to put everlasting joy upon their heads. Isaiah 51:12. I am He that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? In an endeavor to show us how absurd it is to fear men that shall die as does grass underfoot, inspiration and this verse emphasizes the promised comforts of Isaiah 51:11. It must be that with some the fear of men is great. Now that we have Yahweh's word and comfort, let us fear Him who only is to be feared. Isaiah 51:13. And forgettest the Yahweh thy maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, and hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Question mark. And we began to fear man just that moment. We forget Yahweh. For the question, where is the fury of the oppressor, implies that in the reality there is not any. That it is only a bluff. Isaiah 51:14-15. For the captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Yahweh, the Elohim, that divided the sea, whose ways ruined the Yeshua of the host is his name. Yes, the captives hope for their release, but Elohim does not hope for the sea, for the sea itself to divide. He divides it at will and causes his people to go through on dry ground. Isaiah 51:16. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. What do you mean the foundations? Got an S on this foundation of the earth. That means the 12 foundations of the holy city. That's another place of where you find the 12 foundations. They will be the foundation of the earth when that holy city comes down with that city with 12 foundations. And say unto Zion, thou art my people. Here we have Yahweh's own statement that the words we speak are the words of the truth direct from him. Moreover, he assures us that his hand, his care, and keeping are around us, that by this means he may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Isaiah 51:17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hath drunk at the hand of the Yahweh, and with the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of the trembling and wrung them out. Awake, awake, my friend, unto the fact that our captivity, our sorrow, and our mourning are about over. We are never again to go through them. He who divides the sea can indeed make us free. Now, what is this telling us right here? It says, awake, awake, my friend, to the fact that our captivity, our sorrow, and our mourning are about over. Who's he talking to here? He's talking to the saints that escaped out of the Adventist church with the first judgment that starts at the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17. He's talking about them. I was in that church. I know I was in that church for, I've been in that church all my life here up to 2002. I mean, I know I joined Verlis Johnson in 1970, but I didn't leave the Adventist church. I was still within her confines. All right. So it says in Isaiah 51:18, it says, there is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. Thine past and even present condition is now brought to view for our consideration. What a desolation. What a terrible state for a church to be in after having been brought forth many converts. There is not a one to give her a helping hand. So let's read that Isaiah 51:18 again. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she has brought forth. So, the Adventist church has brought forth many converts, but neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she has brought up. That's why she came to her end in 2002 at Turner, Texas. She came to her lonely, abysmal end. Okay, it says, here we are told that the laity and the Laodicea at the current church in Gilead Center 2002 are not of any spiritual help to the mother, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the ministry. No, not even one endeavors to lift his hand to help the ministering brethren. Who were the ministering brethren at Gilead City? It was only myself. Alan at one time was, but then he stopped ministering. The Gilead Center. Me and my wife were the only ministering ones there left when the Gilead Center came to its end. They are all more or less in agreement to stay wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3:17. You know the rest of the story on that. Isaiah 51:19. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Who shall be sorry? Desolation and destruction and the famine and the sword, by whom shall I comfort thee? ? David of old was given to choose one of three things. So Gad the prophet came unto David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee and thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? 2 Samuel 24:10-13. Now in the like manner Yahweh's people are asked to choose either desolation and destruction or famine and the sword. Then unlike in the David's day, he himself solves our problem if we let him. These are some of the things that Yahweh's people have gone through. Even how some of these things still surround them. Our hope, nevertheless, is in the Yahweh's deliverance. Isaiah 51:20-22. Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets, as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Yahweh, the rebuke of thy Elohim. Therefore hear now this thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith the Yahweh, the Savior, and thy Elohim, the Father, that pleadeth this the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of the trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Shall we not be thankful to know that everyone whose name is found in the book shall be delivered even from the time of the trouble into which we are soon to enter? Michael shall stand up for his people, Daniel 12:1. Once he gathers us, he shall never again scatter us. Isaiah 51:23. But I will put it the cup of his fury into the hand of them that afflict thee, which has said unto thy soul, bow down, that we may go over, and thou hast laid thy body as the ground, and as a street to them that went over. For the tables are turned. What Yahweh's people once had to take from their enemies must soon take from them. Let us therefore not neglect the advantage of Yahweh's plea of the deliverance. This is what's happening right now in our changeover in our government here in the United States, with Donald Trump taking over from those democratic communists that have been running our government. The transition is in place right now. Yes, my friends, since our long and trying journey is at an end, let us, as Yahweh's arm, give earnest need to his awakening call. Now see, B.T. Hollis thinks that he's that fifth group of laborers, that last group that's called Matthew 20:6. He thinks that that's where he's at in the stream of time, but he's not. He's in that fourth group, which they don't have the commission to fulfill this Isaiah 51. Now at the end of our long and trying journey, let us allow nothing to hold us back from obtaining the two things that are to make us stand forever, Yahweh's salvation and his righteousness. We are now asked to choose either to stand on Yahweh's side or on the side of his adversaries. Those whom we fear Those who are doing everything to close their eyes unto Yahweh's truth at this time, either to choose Yahweh, His Spirit, and His revealed truth, or to choose man, desolation and destruction, the famine and the sword. Okay. This brings us to the end of our study today. You can contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
Somebody bigger than you and I.
Who made the mountain? Who made the tree? Who made the river flow to the sea? And who hung the moon in the starry sky? Somebody bigger than you and I. Who makes the flowers bloom in the spring? Who writes the song for the robin to sing? And who sends the rain when the earth is dry? Somebody bigger than you and I. He lights the way when the road is long, keeps you company, with love to guide you. He walks beside you, just like He walks with me. When I am weary, filled with despair, He gives me courage to go on from there. And who gives me faith that will never die?